You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 100. Yes, we finally reached 100, and yes, we are going to continue as well. My guest today is Rose, who brings a series of interesting dreams and some quite challenging questions to the dream interpretation segment of today's show. But because it's our 100th show, we're actually starting with some contributions that have been sent in from you, the listeners. We're going to start with five pieces of audio that have been sent in, and then we're going to move on to some emails that have been sent in to congratulate us on the 100th show and lots of other interesting stuff too. And after that, we'll be bringing in Rose with her three dreams and her very challenging questions. So first of all, we're going to start with the audio. And the first audio that's been sent in is from Abigail in Kansas. And Abigail is actually singing a song that I can guarantee you will be very happy to have on your mind for the rest of today. Beautifully sung by Abigail. So the next five pieces of audio you're going to hear are first the song from Abigail in Kansas, then a message from James Williams in Sydney, then we go to Carolyn in Darwin, then to Anne in Idaho, and finally for this segment to Ian Cath in Brisbane. After that, we'll move to the emails. But hey, sit back, enjoy the audio first.
Hi, Jane Theresa. This is Abigail. In honor of your 100th podcast, I'm going to be doing a recording for you of Somewhere Over the Rainbow by Harold Arlen. And I would like to apologize for the poor sound quality of this recording. I'm just using the little microphone built into my computer as I could not find my recording equipment. It's either in storage somewhere or it's somewhere over the rainbow. Here we go.
Hi there, Jane Theresa. It's James Williams from the Lifestyle Pod Network. dropping in to wish you congratulations on your 100th show. It's no mean feat, and I know you do it sometimes under the most adverse conditions. But I wanted to say congratulations to you, Jane Teresa, but also to Michael, who works tirelessly behind the scenes to put your show together. You've done a remarkable job with the Lifestyle Pod Network, and I wanted to thank you for your contribution to your audience and to us as a community of hosts. It's great to have you on the network, and I look forward to the next 100 shows. Have a great 100th show. Look forward to the next 100, and see you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hello, I first heard about Jane Teresa Anderson on ABC Radio, and she was giving interpretations of listeners' dreams, and I was just so impressed with her fabulous manner and the way that she looked at dreams. It's like she knew the language. So from then, I went and purchased her wonderful Dream Alchemy book, and since then, I've given that book away 100 times. I think I say to people, look at this book, you know, and they take it, and I have to go and buy another copy. So it's a great book. If you haven't got it, go and get it. And then I just invested in all of Jane Teresa's books, and I noticed that on her website, she's a very generous lady. She's got lots of free stuff up there. She doesn't hide her knowledge. She wants to share it with us all. And you know, I'm just so impressed. I'm so glad that we have Jane Teresa in Australia, especially. She has a really unique understanding of the dream world, and she's got an incredible intuition. And that sort of leaves a really deep knowledge of the unconscious mind. So she's got impressive techniques, and she's thorough, and she's methodical, you know. All her research has given us all a greater understanding of our weird and wonderful dreams. So thanks, Jane Teresa. I love your podcast. Please keep podcasting, and I hope that you get to a million podcasts, Jane. All the best for the future, and thank you on behalf of my dreams for helping me understand them. God bless.
To celebrate the Dream Show's 100th podcast, here's a little message about the number 100. 100 is completeness, the same as the number 10. Nothing is missing and nothing is overdone. Does that mean that the Dream Show is complete and no more shows to follow? I hope not. Jane Therese will just have to start over and complete another 100 shows before she looks into retiring the podcast. If you took 10 discs and put them down flat on the table in the shape of a triangle or pyramid, you would notice that in the center of this triangle is a single disc. Just like in dream interpretation, everybody in my dream is a symbol of some aspect of myself that I need to learn more about in waking life. So, the center disc in this triangle of 10 represents me, the center of all my dreams. Jane Teresa, congratulations on your 100th show, and thank you for how you've educated me about dreams. From Anne in the state of Idaho, USA.
Hello, Jane Teresa and the ubiquitous Michael, the ever-present producer of The Dream Show, who many people don't know about. Congratulations on your 100th episode. It's quite an achievement to do 100 episodes of anything. To do 100 episodes of a podcast is quite an achievement, especially a weekly podcast where you've got to slog it out and produce every week. A podcast episode requires a great deal of determination, and I certainly appreciate it. Congratulations on achieving this milestone. I think you've done an amazing job, and it's a credit to both of you for being able to stick at it and put out such outstanding content that has enabled people to learn so much about the whole process of dream analysis, the understanding of how dreams can be used to help them in their lifestyle and to help them to get on with their own personal situations. Jane Teresa, thanks very much for coming on to my show, your story, and explaining a little bit of your background. It was enlightening to understand how the whole scientific background wove into the understanding of dream analysis. And Michael, the ever-present and very quiet producer of The Dream Show, good on you for producing some amazing content for Jane Teresa. Congratulations to both of you.
Well, somewhere in the depths of my brain, I'm singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, but I'm not going to sing it out loud for you. Thank you, Abigail, James, Carolyn, Anne, and Ian. And now we're moving on to some messages that we received by email, and reading them out are Ewan and Michael.
I'm going to start with one from Suzanne from Massachusetts. She says, my favourite thing to do on a Sunday is to go for a run and listen to Jane Teresa's podcast. Even when I think I know where the dream is going, I always learn new things. Thanks for the dream site, Jane Teresa. Here's to another 100 episodes.
And I'm going to go and read out from Jill over in China. Best wishes for hundreds more weeks of the dream show and for one of my favourite websites.
Here's one from Barbara in Sydney. I look forward to listening to Jane Teresa's podcasts every Friday. It's a special treat. I'm always amazed at how much I can relate to other people's dreams. There's always an interesting insight which helps me in my own dreams and my personal journey. Thank you, Jane Teresa, for sharing your knowledge. You're a wealth of information doubled with great instincts and compassion for people.
And from Carly Young in the San Francisco Bay Area. I am so amazed at how quickly and perceptively Jane Teresa gets to the nugget of meaning in her listeners' dreams. Her sunny personality and compassionate manner make dealing with what can be troubling issues as close to pain-free as possible. She is the spoonful of honey that makes the medicine go down. I hope others will learn from her, as I have, not only how to get to the meaning behind their dreams, but to use dream material, as she does, with her dream alchemy to improve their lives.
And here's another one from Australia, Jane in Melbourne. Congratulations on your 100th show. It's the best website on dreams. I enjoy all the dream tips and website resources, but most of all, I love your books. They are handy when I'm looking for answers. Best wishes for the future.
And from Linda Bravard in Florida. Congratulations to you, Jane Teresa, on your 100th episode. Listening to the show has been a real joy, and actually being on the show was even better. I always learn something new from every show, and having my own dream interpreted and receiving the gift of dream alchemy was life-changing. Keep up the good work, Jane Teresa, and I look forward to another 100 shows.
And Valerie in Barcelona says, I am amazed at your incredible dream interpretation skills. You have so much insight. I think you really give lots of useful advice to your listeners, and you do so with a cute sense of humor and a large dose of positivity. It's a pleasure to listen to your show.
And from David. Hi, Jane. I would like to say thank you for being so helpful to me in interpreting my dreams. Things now make a lot more sense. I also have a lot more confidence. Keep up the good work. I would encourage anyone out there to seek your advice.
And here's one from Melinda in Kansas. It is such a pleasure listening to your podcasts. I've listened to all of them so far, some shows multiple times. I feel I am receiving an education about the many aspects of dreaming, and especially like learning about dream alchemy. I've done the visualizations you recommended after private Skype sessions with you and being a guest on your show, and I'm loving the changes I see happening in my life. Thank you for sharing your knowledge and expertise.
And from Will Hanna in New York. Hi, Jane. Thanks for your ongoing support of dream exploration, self-discovery and enjoyment. When all is said and done, I am convinced that my dream weavers, whatever or whoever they may be, are on my side. I trust them implicitly, intuitively, to meet me right where I am, hold up mirrors, point directions, tell the truth, hold me accountable, teach me lessons, make me wonderful, jaw-dropping jokes, comfort and inspire me, and oftentimes they show me the bars of my caged self and make me taste the bitter littleness in there and feel the sadness of my isolation. And once in a while, they open up amazing portals of experience where I am seeing and feeling whole new landscapes in a vivid and thrilling way, and in and beyond imagination, in my body and spirit, both energized and awestruck. Anything is possible in my dreams. I most love to fly, Search Old Houses. Talk to my daughter, who died in 2007. See marvelous architectural designs and undulating, dancing paintings. Meet sweet and wholesome people with deep, wide, wise eyes. Feel the amorphous, buzzy, blissy energies that are not necessarily associated with images, but are definitely rooted in my cells, nerves, muscles, and flesh. It is quite a thing to start the morning saying, "Wow!" It doesn't happen too often, but I'm certainly open to it happening as often as it can and chooses to do so. Thanks again for letting people everywhere know that this is a different but very real place with its own rules, available to all of us every day of our lives.
There's a quick one from Fran in St. Louis. I never delete a Jane Teresa Anderson dream tip as I scroll through my inbox. A rare web treasure chock full of insight. Congratulations on show number 100. Whether listening to the radio show, visiting the website, or enjoying tip after tip, I can't thank you enough for your much-deserved success.
And from Ali Blackwell in Brisbane. You're an inspiration, Jane. I originally heard you on the radio and then was with you from the beginning of your book writing and internet sharing. I have all your books and avidly consumed your emails. Guess what I've most appreciated, apart from the wisdom you've passed on so freely and well, is watching you practice what you preach, constantly changing and evolving, experimenting and expanding. I recommend you to everyone I know who has the slightest interest in self-development and or dreams, and I know many who are now avid fans. Probably I should stop lending friends your books and make them buy their own, as my books now are rarely on my shelves. I often take just little extracts from your musings, acknowledging them, of course, to send where I know that they will be useful, relevant, and pertinent. The ripple effect of your wisdom is shared far and wide. Keep up the ever-evolving and potentially life-changing and certainly life-enhancing work. You make the world a better place. Thank you.
And the last one we have here is from Kerry Croson in Australia's Sunshine Coast. She says, after nearly 18 years of listening to dreams being interpreted, I'm thrilled to have access to a show such as this. It explains the symbols and messages from a dream in a way that's colourful, easy to understand and follow. I'm still amazed at the feelings that well up inside as the meaning of a dream is unravelled through thorough examination of its symbols and themes. Your emotions can run the whole gamut as you often recognise yourself in so much of the content, even if it is someone else's dream. It's not always comfortable as you're confronted with your inner certainty and the possibility of a need for change, but it's always teaching and inspiring you to evolve and move forward. The knowingness that in order to affect change, you have to change within yourself. That's the real message of the alchemy practice. Herein lays a site of so many hidden treasures, hence the name Dream Alchemy. It enriches and stimulates so much of you, your mind, your body, and your spirit. Pardon the cliche, but it does. And it doesn't cost you anything, although it does ask a lot, in that it asks for your time to turn the spotlight on yourself rather than focusing on the busyness of your life. Yes, it does require you to pay attention to lots of things that you've probably pushed aside in favor of other pursuits, but ultimately, the reward is so great and unobtainable elsewhere. Is it worth it? Absolutely. The world, your world, that is, will be a better place because of it. Words can't thank you enough, Jane Teresa, for giving so generously of yourself and the unique service that you provide. You are an inspiration for all of us whose lives you've touched with your beneficial work.
A special thanks to you and Michael for reading those out beautifully, and also thanks to everyone for the wonderfully generous and kind comments and congratulations that you sent in there. Now, just before going to Rose and her dreams and my interpretations of them, I also just want to extend a very special thank you to Michael for sitting with me through 100 episodes and all the future ones as well, doing the sometimes quite complicated IT stuff behind the show. I only spend 1 hour in front of the microphone, and Michael spends usually another 3 hours each week just getting the show ready for your enjoyment. So special thanks to Michael, who actually had to learn all these skills, you know, on the day that I said, oh, let's do podcasts, let's do a dream show. Michael had to go away and study and become proficient. Thanks also to James Williams of Lifestyle Pod Network, who provide the wonderful and constantly evolving platform for our show. If you haven't been to lifestylepodnetwork.com, go there because there are dozens of other podcast episodes and shows happening there. Thanks also to everyone who's been a guest over on all the podcasts over the last 100 shows. And most of all, thank you to you, our listeners in over 30 countries who often listen every week. And as somebody pointed out there in one of the messages, sometimes listen to multiple shows. The show would not exist without you all listening to it and sharing it with your friends. So thanks for all of that. And now let's see what Rose has been dreaming. Welcome to the Dream Show, Rose. How are you?
I'm good.
And what do you have for me?
I just want to give my little background. Hello, everybody. I'm so glad to be with you today. I'm from Missouri, United States, and I'm an accountant, and I'm a big follower of Jane Teresa. I read her books, and as part of my dream quest, and apart from doing taxes and numbers, I interpret my everyday dreams based on Jane's research and books. And sometimes I help my family members and friends with their dreams. I do practice dream alchemy. And I'm capable of interpreting most of my dreams, but there are a few patterns in my dreams that I don't understand. For explaining those patterns, I will share with you three separate dreams. Shall I go on and share with you my dream?
Yes, again? That's lovely, Rose, because that's a really nice idea to see if we can look at the pattern across, you know, the three different dreams and see if we can pick that pattern in your waking life and why it's there. So, yeah, go on, describe the dreams.
Okay, my first dream, it happened 2 years back. I had this dream in which I was sitting on our kitchen table in India. I was originally from India, and my parents, along with my younger sister, still live there. And I moved to the United States after my marriage. So in that dream, I was eating a lamb meat, and I was not even looking up or even lifting my head. And in that dream, I can even taste that meat and smell it. And I was eating like I was starved. And it's more like, I don't care what you think, I'm eating what I like kind of eating. It's just eating with such a starved feeling. And I want you to share with my real life things so that you can understand why I'm doing that.
Yeah.
I'm a vegetarian, and I took an overnight decision when I was 18 to not eat any kind of meat for the rest of my life. And I always suppress in my meat cravings in truly in a brutal way. Like, I never attended to that problem. So in that dream, I was eating meat like I was starved. Mm-hmm. And when I woke up, I understood that I was not dealing with my problem in a healthy way. And that was the dream. And I do understand that dream. My younger sister called me, and then where the real problem started. She said, I had a funny dream, and you were sitting on our kitchen table and eating meat, and you were not even paying attention to me when I spoke. I thought, okay, maybe she wanted to eat that badly. And she asked, are you craving meat? I was so surprised. I really didn't understand how to react at that moment, because I never behave in public like I'm craving meat, or even I never share with people I'm craving meat, because it's almost 14 years I give up meat, and I don't discuss at all with anyone those cravings.
Mm.
And so I asked her a few questions to confirm whether it is the same dream I saw a week back. I was a little curious, So, like, I asked her, how was I sitting? What was the time when you had the dream? Like, you know, it was evening in my dream. And, but it must tallied everything, like, you know. She said, like, you're sitting like this, you're eating like this, something like that. So but she asked me, why did we have same kind of dreams and like that? So, but I said, I have no answer. I don't know how to explain this. I mean, I read online all sorts of websites, but I couldn't explain it clearly why we have the same kind of dream.
Yes.
I'm close to my sister, and we live in two different countries. So we communicate, but it's not like everyday, two-day life.
Yes.
We share important things. We always share dreams because whenever she don't understand or how to interpret a dream, I normally do the interpretation job. And that is one dream I couldn't understand.
Yes.
Sometimes I observe that those dreams which are unusual for her, or if she cannot explain, or if she feels like it relates to me, strangely, they connect to something in my real life or my dreams. I don't understand this passion at all, but there is another dream. My astrological sign is Taurus, and my sister has a friend who is Taurian too. And sometimes in her dreams, I look like her friend. And I'm not quite sure about this, but just explaining the way I find this strange.
Yes.
And in one particular dream, her friend went to see a balloon show, which had we had a balloon festival in Missouri, and we were planning to visit it that Sunday. And I never mentioned this to my sister. She never heard or saw any balloon festivals because they don't happen in India.
Mm-hmm.
But in her dream, her friend went to see this balloon festival. She was asking that I had a dream in which her friend went to this place. It was huge balloons. They were lit and they were glowing. And I was so shocked, and I explained to her that we were planning to attend a balloon festival, but I couldn't explain her why. She saw it in her dream.
Mm.
And those were the two dreams. And the last dream is once we went to a park, and it was so beautiful. When I was watching that beautiful greenery and everything, I remembered my sister and thought, I wish my sister see this park. And that was so beautiful. And there was one particular instant I can relate very clearly, is that there was a fallen tree there. And all the green moss covered the whole tree. And I loved it so much that I stared at it for so long. And after a week, when I called my sister, she said she had a dream, and she kept telling me about trees and places, and she said, my dream was so beautiful. And then she said, there is a fallen tree, you know. There was, it was cool, covered with moss, and it was so beautiful. And that particular word, I really stand, because it was the same word, same thing I saw.
Yes.
And I know this looks some kind of magical interpretation, but still, I don't understand this pattern with us two, because this looks kind of, you know, not from normal dream interpretation. This looks so different.
Yeah, I understand.
I wish we cleared this.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, as you say, like, you know, you started out, and thank you for the lovely things you said at the beginning, but, you know, you started out saying, I'm an accountant. In other words, I'm a rational person and I'm a dream interpreter. I also know how to interpret dreams symbolically. And yet I'm noticing that this thing is happening. And I suppose, and I'm going to help you with a pattern, but I suppose a similar thing happened to me around about 20 years ago, which wasn't quite the same as you. It wasn't dream sharing, but I was having some number of my dreams were overlapping, not with other people's dreams, but what other people were doing in waking life. And I found myself in a similar position. And I was saying, look, you know, I'm a dream analyst. I can analyze symbolic dreams, you know, accurately. And I'm a scientist. I'm trained as a scientist. And yet I am having some dreams which, item for item, just like your fallen tree covered with a moss, item for item are corresponding with what is happening for somebody else, or sometimes are corresponding with something that is going to happen in my life. And I found that, you know, not only interesting and curious, but also quite frightening, because Well, you know, for all sorts of reasons. And at that point in my life, I then, strangely enough, began to get a lot of letters, because it was in the days before email, letters from people saying, yeah, I've heard you on radio. I know you're a scientist. I've never explained this to anybody else because, or described this to anybody else because I'm frightened, you know, I might be diagnosed as having a psychiatric condition or something, but I have dreams where I see the future, or I have dreams that, where I see other people's dreams. And that started me on a long journey of doing research in that area. And I eventually wrote a book, The Shape of Things to Come, which was published by Random House. So I kind of know where you're coming from with that feeling where you're not wanting to just jump out. You know, a lot of people will say, oh, I had a dream of a plane crash 3 years ago and a plane crashed this week, so it was a precognitive dream. It's not that category. It's not like you really want it to happen. It's just that along with everything else, you notice these things. So I do understand where you're coming from. And I am going to look at your dreams as well. But the thing is that when we're asleep and dreaming, so much is happening. And, you know, basically the left brain or the logical brain is more or less shut off. And we know that when we look at the pattern of our dreams, they're so symbolic, they're so emotional, they have lost the language of rationality, and our unconscious mind is trying to express itself with, you know, with basically only the right brain turned on, making a really good job, like a kind of surreal painting with sense around. And although normally our dreams are indeed processing our experiences of the last 24 to 48 hours and expressing them through the right brain, there's something about the mind while we're sleeping that also in some people, definitely not in everybody, but in some people is open to receiving information from other people, either about what's happening to them in waking life or about what they're dreaming. And you know, through the research I've done, I can see that over and over, and from the question that you've asked. And I'm going to go on and talk about this more, but I do want to say very clearly to everybody listening at the stage, my worry when I go in this direction is that those of you who are not accustomed to looking at a symbolic dream and really realizing the power of interpreting a symbolic dream may at this point jump to the worrying conclusion that all dreams are literal reflections of what's happening to other people. So there might be people out there thinking, oh, I just dreamed that my son died. It's going to happen, you know, and it's not, because these dreams, 99.9% of our dreams are symbolic. There might be other people out there thinking, oh, I've just dreamed about my friend in India. And she was angry with me. Oh my God, she must be angry with me. This is terrible. You know, I'm here to say before we go into this next discussion, that is so unlikely. This phenomenon is real. This phenomenon that you describe, Rose, is real, and it's extremely rare. And as you also said at the intro there, you also have, and your sister also has, what we might call ordinary dreams, dreams that, you know, you can interpret for yourself, dreams that you interpret for her, which are not dreams of overlap. So even amongst those of us for whom this happens, we still have most of our dreams are symbolic, are not literal representations of what are going to happen. So I just want to make sure that everyone listening is very calm and grounded about this before we wander onto this slightly more unusual territory, which does cover things that are happening, but it is extremely rare. And for those of you that
I do understand.
Yeah, and I knew you would understand too, Rose. And for those of you who do want to know a little bit more in depth, maybe have a look at my book, The Shape of Things to Come, which you can actually read freely online these days on my website at dream.net.au, or you can get a paperback copy from me or from various shops to go into this in more depth. But having said that, let's come back to your three dreams, Rose. So when there's a close connection, and, you know, you have a close connection, as you describe, with your sister, and particularly because you've left home, you're no longer living in India, you're in America, there's probably more of a connection with you because you're not there on a day-to-day level. Your minds are reaching out to each other at other times. So that's why the connection is there. Although it's your sister tuning into your dreams, not the other way around at the moment. And it's interesting. Go on.
Yes, sorry.
I love the fact that sometimes in her dreams, it's not you that she sees, it's her other friend, and that she's noticed a connection, the Torian friend connection. And sometimes our dreams will do that. You know, I noticed in a lot of my dreams, which were more telepathic, that sometimes I would seem to be dreaming about, in fact, most of the time, I would seem to be dreaming about somebody else that I knew. And when the situation actually came up, all the details were accurate except the name of the person. When I then looked at the two people, the person who I was dreaming about and the person to whom it happened, I could then see many connections. But I used to take a lot of kind of comfort from that and think, well, this is because I'm not supposed to go out and take action on this dream because I'm not actually given the right person. But when it happens, yeah. I'm given the information of, wow, isn't that awesome? There's more to life than you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's that aspect of it. But have you any idea when you've talked to her, you know, you've said to her, when did you have the dream? Have you any idea whether you were actually dreaming at the same time or whether you were at the Bloom Festival when she was dreaming of it, whether she dreamed before it or after it? Have you any idea of the time scales there?
Well, same dream is kind of impossible because I live in the United States and completely sleep when we when I'm awake, she sleeps, and I am. It's completely impossible at the same time. So I'm not. I don't have that idea. Like, you know, we're dreaming and we're entering into the same dream plane or anything like that. But observing the dream, I kind of feel like we have some kind of connection. And her dreams, she usually shares with me her dreams, so I analyze them. And she's kind of, she tells me, like, I walked to this place, I went to this place, I went to that place. And she talks more like she's traveling in her dreams. I mean, I don't discuss with her like you are a dream walker or something like that, but I mostly follow rules laid down in our in your books. Mm-hmm. And try to interpret them like, you know, if she's seeing a person, I try to tell her, like, because that person's some kind of personality in her person, in her, that person, you identify yourself with. So don't try to get into that you walk into other dreams or under. Let's stop it and let's try to understand it from other point of view. Like, maybe it's some personality in you trying to talk to you in other way. So we never actually crossed that line of going into that kind of spiritual experience, but we tried to analyze it in more rational way. So I just wanted to make sure normally we don't cross it. Like, you know, it's a subtle connection between that, because if you go into more spiritual way, it expands, like too many symbols, too much explanation.
Yeah, I understand what you mean, because you're right. That is what I say in my books and everything that I do. One of the key things that I came out with at the end of my 3 years research on this subject was that even when a dream is overlapping with another person's life, or even when a dream is predicting something that's going to happen with great accuracy in your own life, if you interpret that dream, it is also symbolically totally accurate for your own life. So even when your mind is blown away by the fact that your sister has dreamed of the Balloon Festival, as you correctly say, it's still important to say, yes, then maybe there are some things about life that we don't understand. Maybe life is more miraculous than we sometimes understand. But let's go back now and interpret the dream. And my feeling over a lot of that was that whatever's happening for a person, say your sister, on a personal level, on an interior level, on a spiritual level, on a psychological level, on an emotional level, on all of these levels, gives her a certain resonance. And then if there are other people such as yourself or events out in the world that resonate with what's going on for her, then she tunes into that in her dream. So that, you know, for all my dreams where I overlapped with what was happening for people in their waking life, when I looked at the dreams, I could see that they were symbolically meaningful for me. I could then look at the waking life event that I picked up on and say, hey, you know, it's really like an outer world version of my dream. It's still symbolic to me. It's meaningful to me. So at the end of the day, once we're then wowed by how miraculous and mysterious life is, the learning is still in you know, looking at your dream and analyzing it and saying, what does this mean about me? What can I learn about myself? So your approach with your sister, you know, there is absolutely accurate. And on that level, I'd quite like to quickly look at your three dreams and look at them just as your own symbolic dreams. And then we can maybe wonder why it was that your sister tuned into those. So the first dream where you're, which was 2 years ago when you saw yourself back in India and eating the meat like you're starving. And as you say, you woke up and you knew that, you know, this is something to do with me craving meat and I'm not taking a very healthy attitude towards it. So we've kind of understand that one. Did you find, even though you're a committed vegetarian, did you find when you moved to America that was more challenging for you?
I mean, it's almost 14 years. So at that initial days, it was challenging because I used to really go for eating cakes and everything. I was committed not to even eat eggs. So it was difficult initially, but later on, it's like in my subconscious mind, I suppressed it so much that I ignored the meat completely. But at times, I do feel cravings. I feel like it was not conscious, but subconsciously I crave it. And later, I found out some good methods that I can follow so that those meat cravings can be brought down. And I followed some healthy methods, like giving myself protein and everything, something like that. But because inside I love eating meat products, but I should say that cravings are still there.
And it's interesting because even though that is a physical craving and it is still there, you know, and to some extent the body does shout out what its requirements are. even at that, I would still go more deeply symbolic and say, okay, what does meat eating represent to you?
It's more like, you know, I totally feel like depression is affecting me a lot. Because I just took an overnight decision and I brutally, like, you know, just told myself, no, I'm not going to eat this anymore. It's more an ego kind of thing. And that ego actually backfiring on me. Like sometimes it just feels, in my dreams, the way I was eating, it's telling me, like, I don't care what you decide. I'm eating what I like kind of eating. I'm not even paying attention to myself in that dream. Like, I was just eating crazily. So I thought I should not be suppressing things like that.
I think that's right.
Maybe I should talk to my...
Yeah, I know you're quite correct, Rose. And then it's extending that out to other things in your life. You know, what else are you maybe, 2 years ago when you had the dream, what else are you maybe suppressing? Not just the meat, but what other things may you have been suppressing, as you say, from an ego point of view? And to what extent are you starving yourself from real nourishment, not food nourishment, but other kinds of nourishment, spiritual nourishment, emotional nourishment, joyful nourishment, those kind of things?
Yes. I have this habit of suppressing things. You know, if I decide that I should not do this, sometimes I'm so stubborn to follow such things. I just brutally go on and do it, and ignoring my inner wants. That I observe that pattern in me. It's kind of my nature in me. I don't know. I do it sometimes.
Yeah. So you're fully understanding that particular dream was reflecting your nature in a symbolic way as well as in a physical way, and so it was meaningful to you, and your sister tuned into it. Is your sister a bit the same in that way?
No, my sister is not same in that way, but she's kind of very logical in thinking, and sometimes she analyzes my actions, and we talk to each other like friends, and she's a lawyer by profession, and she has that habit of trying to analyze things a lot. So she's not... No, I don't think she's kind of me at all.
In her analyzing of things, does she still allow emotional things to uplift and inspire her?
Yes, she is emotional, but she's kind of balanced in a way. But she's also not that calm in behavior as I am.
Mm-hmm.
She can go very emotional, and she can shout at times. But I'm more calm compared to her. But I must say she's more analytical. She's more thoughtful in some things better than mine.
So in tuning into your dream, that it may be that at some level she's also craving something, not meat, but craving, has, you know, more of a gut craving or a heart craving, whereas as you've described her there, she's is emotional,
yes,
but she's more of a thinker, more of a head.
Yes, I would say definitely in her real life, she actually craves for things all the time. She even tells me that in her dreams, she searches for things. Like, you know, sometimes she tells me, I'm looking for a pearl. Yeah, I found things like this. I'm on this seashore. I'm searching so eagerly. And most of her dreams are like searching for something, exploring.
Mm.
Yes, definitely. She's craves for something internal, searching there for her.
Yeah. So in her craving, it's likely just because she's one of these rare people that can reach out and tune into what other people are dreaming. In her craving, she's tuning into your craving in your dream. So it's like there's a resonance, there's a lock in there. And the second dream, at the balloon festival. Oh, it wasn't a dream. It was actually happening to you, the balloon festival in Missouri. And she dreamed of balloons and she dreamed of the festival itself. On that day when you went to the balloon festival, what was the one overriding feeling that you had when you were at the Bloom Festival?
There was a red balloon. I mean, it is normally displayed in advertisements for balloon race. Also, there's a very big red balloon that is lit inside. It's very bright red and it's glowing. Like, I don't know, but it's something like, it's very beautiful, all the colors and the background.
Mm-hmm.
That is the normal scene I see when I think about the balloon festival. She was describing the same thing. There was a big balloon. It was lit, and there were many people there. I was walking through them, passing through them, and you're sitting there, and you're just like, you know, you don't seem to be caring for things like that. She was telling me that. And maybe I'm not that interested in that show. Probably she trying to tell me that, like, you're not paying that much attention to those things. Mm. They're really beautiful and you should be paying attention to them, that kind of thing.
Okay, I love that. I love that because, Rose, the balloon was red, as you've so beautifully described there. So you were at the balloon festival and there was a red balloon, and she has the dream that there's the red balloon and it's so beautiful and there's all the colours. And in her dream, it's like, Rose, you should be paying attention to this. So then let's take that back to her dream, your sister's dream. And, you know, if you're thinking of the colours of the chakras, the base chakra is red. And in the previous dream, the meat dream, we were just saying, is your sister, she's really sort of in the head. She's a lawyer. She's thinking about things. She's not really going down into the guts and the heart and the sort of groundedness of it. And that red, is the base chakra color, is the grounded, the connection to earth, the really physical, the almost visceral. And yet the balloon rises high into the air. So it's almost like it's taking this lovely red energy of grounding up into the air. And in her dream, it's like, I'm not recognizing, and it's you, you know, but everybody in the dream is an aspect of yourself. And in her dream, it's like, but you're not recognizing, you're not seeing these colors. It's like you're not bringing this energy from the ground up into the air. So in her life, she, at the time of the dream, she wasn't bringing that kind of those guts, emotions, feelings connected with the ground. She's not bringing those beautiful things up into her head and up into the spiritual aspects of her being.
Yeah, there's also one other thing. I was looking like her friend. I told you, my astrological sign is Taurus, and her friend, she's also Taurus. So
they're grounded.
She related me there. Yes, she related me there. So it's more like a nature. She's trying to describe some kind of nature I'm having.
Exactly. You know, I mean, yeah. Because a Taurus is a earth sign, so you're back down on the ground there too. And I'm just thinking, I can't quite work it out at the moment, but wave a red flag to a bull. You know, it's like the red and the earth.
Yeah.
But then the theme continues, you know, because in the third dream at the park where you're actually dreaming this time, and you're dreaming of the fallen tree covered with moss. And again, how beautiful it is. And your sister has the same dream, and you're right down to the same detail. And again, there's that, you know, a tree is normally rooted into the ground. In your dream, it's actually fallen to the ground. So in one sense, it's lost its roots, it's lost its connection, which we'll come to. But in another sense, it's actually totally on the ground and looking beautiful. And not only on the ground and looking beautiful, but it's covered by moss. And moss doesn't grow very high. Moss is just a ground cover. In fact, it's a total ground cover. So in your dream, it's totally like, wow, the ground is beautiful. And in your dream too, because in a sense, you've lost some aspects of your roots, you know, no matter how connected you still feel to India, you're not living there now. You've had to transplant yourself into somewhat different culture. So there's a sense in which the tree in your dream might represent you transplanted, different culture, lost some of my roots, but hey, look at me, you know, this is absolutely beautiful. You know, there are many ways to enjoy what I'm looking at here. And your sister, to some extent, tuning into that as well. In her life, there's a sense of, you know, maybe her family tree doesn't feel so rooted because you're not there. Things are changing in her life. But again, in her dream, it's this feeling of, in her dream only, if we imagine that you didn't have the dream, in her dream, it's the same feeling. It's something has changed, but this is so beautiful. I'm really focused on the ground here. I'm really focused on what grows. Just because the tree has fallen over, here's something new growing over it. You know, the death of the old, the birth of the new. And so she may have been going through that at her time in the dream. And because you were too, there was the connection. Had you both lost something else at that time of that dream? Like a person, and someone died, or?
Somebody died. No, nobody died at that time.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more like, I was changing at that time. Like, I'm leaving my older self, and I'm, moving to other countries, like, changing everything from your study, your personality, your needs. You have to learn everything. I was thinking like my older personality is completely out, and I'm no longer the same person. I'm changing because I was put into a situation where I am supposed to change or I will die, kind of thing.
Mm.
And it also so many things happening in my life. I was newly married, and it's complete change in life. You move from your parents' house, you just move to a different country. Like, I feel like my oldest self died. Just no longer I'm the older person.
Yes.
And, yeah, that was, I think I was dead and that.
Naturally, it was you. And yet there was the beauty of the moss and that feeling of being very grounded in the dream.
Yes, yes, that was the most important thing I remember in the dream, because I identified that hard dream because of that, the fallen tree, the moss, because of that I identified that.
Mm.
She was talking about the trees, and I think I didn't even thought for a while that she was talking about a park and all those things, but at that moment when she mentioned it, I suddenly I remember all that she said and said, oh God, she's mentioning this. we normally, in every time I call her, we discuss about dreams. It just became a part of our life. And it's not the only three dreams I could read, but there were many other dreams.
Mm.
Like this feelings I thought I could describe it very clearly so that I can tell you those particular things that you can identify why I had this dilemma with this.
Yeah. Do you understand a little bit more now about why you had your own dreams and why they might also have resonated with her?
I actually read your books and also some other books relating to this. I do understand that there are more than subconscious and spiritual connections. And she do ask me a lot of times, how do you describe this? I don't give her a clear explanation, but I try to tell her that there are many bonds more than this that we can understand. Let's don't think too much about it, but just understand that there are bonds in this world that they're more than explaining.
Mm.
So let's share for the moment, let's share our dreams and just go with the flow, and probably in future we can have a clear idea of what's going on.
That's absolutely perfect, yeah. You know, because I think that while what I do and what you do is deeply explore people's dreams symbolically to help them understand their mindset, to help them see how they look at the world, and therefore to help them go forward in better ways, particularly with the alchemy, you know, to
yes.
change unconscious beliefs that are not working for them into unconscious beliefs that do. And while we continue to do that work, because that is the good work that everybody's lives benefit from doing, I think it is beautiful that we also have these opportunities to witness that there are things that we may not understand. And I treasure, you know, although I have gone down that track, particularly with my book, The Shape of Things to Come, as a scientist to try to understand it from that perspective. And in doing so, you know, being able to check a few boxes and put forward some things that seem to be working, I do also think it's really important that we carry forward, as you've just said there, Rose, a sense of mystery, you know, because mystery is part of the world, you know, and honoring the mystery and honoring, as you've said there, that we may not understand today, but tomorrow we may. Just follow the path as it is presented. Sometimes you can't be at the end of the path without taking the steps that get you there.
Yeah. And,
you know, so sometimes we can't fully understand the whole mystery until we've experienced every bit of the path that leads there. So knowing that the mystery is there and valuing it and exploring it, but then saying, but you know, maybe I won't completely understand every aspect of that mystery until I've unraveled all the little mysteries that are on the road to the big one, and you know, and being okay with that.
Yes, I definitely am okay with it, because I'm understanding more things, because I'm continually doing this research as part of my quest. And I almost use your books like research and study each and everything. And I examine these things with other people's dreams also, each and every aspect. So I definitely think I'm okay with it. Because after some time, when you're done with your study and everything else comes to you, becomes a part of the mystery of things, as you said. They will reach you in such a way your spiritual self grows, and everything looks different every day. I mean, every day passes every day. And I totally believe that in future, with all the research that is put into this dream, dream alchemy, I'm sure in future our children will be reading books on this, and it will be part of their study. And I really hope that day comes, because I think every child should be given an opportunity to understand what dreams are, and they should know how to interpret their own dreams. That practically, I believe that we, the person who dreamed that, will understand it better than anyone else.
Yes.
And so everybody should be taught how to interpret dreams. And I totally believe that everybody's effort will be going into as part of futures. and it will be lovely.
I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. Look, and thank you so much for bringing those free dreams and your questions, and really getting our audience thinking and looking into the future there, and for throwing out that one that we should be teaching our children how to work with their dreams and interpret their dreams and walk the path. And I'd like to just leave you with a visualization. Maybe, I don't know, you know, these dreams are quite old for you now, but maybe either in visualization or an art to create a beautifully grounded tree with, you know, lovely branches and fruit. And just explore it, you know, put whatever you would like to be on that tree for yourself, for the world, for humanity, and make sure that as many branches as it's got reaching into the sky, you know, even like the red balloons, as many branches as it's got reaching up are equally balanced by the roots going down into the earth.
I would do the dream alchemy. Sometimes I feel like I ignore so many dreams. It seems like, lack of time or whatever it is, but I should be doing it on a regular basis.
It's a good point you're raising there. I mean, we all remember four or five dreams a night when we're doing really well. You obviously can't do dream alchemy on all of them. So it's really, and for everyone out there listening too, it's picking that one dream that stands out, or that even more powerfully, the recurring theme that stands out, and applying dream alchemy to that. And that's where the magic really begins. And as you say, Rose, it's so tempting in our busy lives just to go, yeah, I understand that dream. Yep, I understand that dream, and not getting around to the alchemy. And you know, I have the sheer pleasure of working so closely with people, as I'm sure you do too, where I can witness people go off and do the alchemy because they've got to do it because they're going to speak to me the next week. and that's where I see it, you know, and it works, and life just completely changes for them. So it is so powerful. It's worth taking the time out to do it. Thank you for taking the time out today to share your dreams with us.
Thank you, because it's a pleasure. Pleasure is mine. And thanks a lot, Jane.
A pleasure.
For everything.
And I'm sure that's plenty of food for thought for all of you for another week before the next episode of The Dream Show. Don't you just love the mystery too? That was a wonderful contribution from Rose on our 100th show. And I have to leave you with another listen to Abigail's song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. It's just so beautiful and so uplifting and so spot on for all the dream work that we do. But first, a little bit of housekeeping. Of course, the website addresses, if you want to either contact me privately for a confidential Skype consultation, life coaching, to buy some stuff, or just to enjoy our hundreds of pages of free resources on dream interpretation, come to www.dream.net.au or my blog at www.janetheresa.com. That's Teresa without an H. Or find us on Facebook and join our dream community there. So till next week, and leaving you with Somewhere Over the Rainbow, I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.